Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hi,
hey,
guys.
Kurt, I got somebody for the radio show.
Hang on 1 second.
Jonathan, you still
there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi,
this
guys.
This is Derek, by the way. Hey, Kurt.
Hey. Yes.
Hey, Kurt, I got my friend Jonathan on the line with us today.
Oh, Jonathan. And I'm having Mary host the show, and I'll be co-hosting today.
Hey, so, Kurt, hey Jonathan, say hi to Kurt.
Hi, Jonathan. Say hi to Mary. So, Jonathan, tell us more about you.
What?
Where are you from, Jonathan? I can't hear you. Where are you from? Derek.
All right.
Hold on, I can't hardly hear his friends.
All right, so I just muted Derek because he's got a lot of background noise. Go ahead, Kurt.
Again, thank you very much for taking care of this. I think I might have to get a new laptop. I'm not looking forward to it. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base about took a couple notes today in what Mary and I had discussed. My notes is I want to talk about how we can face challenges and to fix the problems, or we go to God or higher power. And then I also go down foster children, and I think that's the topic we really need to talk about today, how when they face their challenges if they don't have a God-based foster parent, or would they so I'm not really familiar how foster parenting or foster child system works, so if anybody is educated on that, let me know, because I don't know. Maybe Mary, you would know. Good issue. Where do they turn to if well, faith-based parent?
I didn't quite catch that. I'm sorry, Kurt.
That's all. I'm just saying how I want my issue. My topic is today is it's based on what you told me in the morning. Can you hear me now, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. What you told me. My topic is how children and how foster children can turn to face their challenges and to how could they do that without a faith-based parent? Where do they turn to, and how does life coaching fit into that? I don't know much about foster care. Maybe Mary, you know more than I do. And can you enlighten us on this topic for today?
There are so a lot of different avenues to turn to. You know, you have local church groups, you know, and there's also, you know, go to your county office. There's, you know, support groups. There is, you know, a national directory for foster care.
Mm-hmm.
you just got to know where to look and just be willing to look. You know, even just talking to your friends and your neighbors, you know, okay, so this is what I'm struggling with. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, specifically to a foster child. It, you know, you're just struggling in general with
You have a lot of more challenges in life.
Right. No, there is no how to raise the perfect child. And getting a child out of foster system, you know, there's a challenge in itself. I mean, these kids, for whatever reason or another, you know, are stuck in the situation they're given. They're not given the option to say,
no.
You know, this is how it's going to be.
Right.
And so they have their own challenges and their own self-esteem issues. And they need more patience and more understanding and just talking to them. You know, especially when you have, you know, children that aren't biologically yours and you decide to, you know, you have other kids, you know, they have to figure out how to fit into your family. No, they look at themselves as outsiders looking in to begin with because they know they're not, you know, your child. And treating them a little
right.
differently or talking about them, you know, this is my foster kids, these are my kids, you know.
Right.
I knew a
right.
lady that was a great foster mom, and she just always said, these are my kids, irregardless of which ones were hers. You didn't know which ones were hers and which ones weren't because she looked at all kids as her kids. You know, and you know going into these situations that these children are going to be challenging. And it's sad
yeah.
that we're in this society now where we just can wipe the kids away or give up our kids, not even just foster kids, our own kids. You know, they're too much to bear. They're too much work. So we're going to give them up, even though
and
we created the mess.
And bottom line is, where as a life coach, where could we fit into their lifestyle and help them choose a path with the foster parents besides them? I'm willing to follow my effort and knowledge into helping these kids. I don't know where I want to know where to start to help these kids because they do need help, and unfortunately they're in a system where they're like a second class citizen. And where do we start as life coaches on how to service their needs fit in with that?
You know, one thing that I do is I work with the child,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I also work with the parents. So we sit
right.
down with the child and talk to them. And the next step is that the child and me or another coach talk to the parents. Okay, this is why we're struggling. This is where we're struggling at.
Right.
And what can we and open that line of communication to figure out. Amanda's on the line, but she has a lot of feedback, and she's got issues with connecting.
Right.
So,
what number is she? 770?
She is the 477 number.
Okay. All right.
The 77. Hey, Country Boy's on. He's a
yes,
good place to start.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Did you hear our topic today? We want to reach out to the foster children with the foster parents. My question is to everybody is that when the foster kids need help and they're facing a challenge and they turn on, but they don't face these foster parents, where do they turn to? How would life coaching fit into their life style?
Hello?
Hello? Gentry boy. Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Gentry boy? I guess not.
Yeah, I was talking, but I guess you couldn't hear me.
No.
No, you were muted.
Somehow we didn't hear you.
You guys are coming in real low today. And I got a brand new phone. My phone was stolen. Say something else.
So, what's me and Kurt, we found an article. I found an article and I sent it to Kurt and we were talking about it. The going trend right now is there's groups, not support groups, just groups for foster parents and adopted parents to find avenues to get rid of their foster kids or their adopted kids because they're too much to handle.
So basically they're selling their kids online.
And so we're looking for different avenues that these people can reach out to get help.
I don't know what's going on with the audio today. I don't know. Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you.
I can't hear any. I can just hear you, but I can't hear. If he's talking, I can't hear him. Is he on mute?
No, I'm not on mute. I can barely hear you guys. I checked my phone.
How's that?
Completely wide open, but I can barely make out what Mary's saying.
Can you hear me?
Okay, hang on. Let's try something different. All right, can you hear me better?
That's a little better, because I only heard, well, we can reach out and we can do and help the parents, and then I was only getting every other word.
Okay.
So was there a question, or was you? And I heard when you first said, did you hear our topic? I only came on, Mary, when you said the kids, you started working with the kids and the parents. That's where I came in, and I didn't hear anything before that.
Okay, so there was an article about Facebook and how they have allow certain groups for parents who are either adopted kids or foster kids, and the system won't take them back, and they want to get rid of them. And
okay.
So the topic is, and it's fine with Facebook, is what are avenues as foster parents or even just parents in general that are struggling, and as life coaches, how can we reach out to help them? Get them to get help.
I kind of understand what you're saying. Years ago, I don't want to sound so old, but about 30-something years ago, when I founded my first non-for-profit organization, Foundation de Mañana, Foundation of Tomorrow, a friend of mine, just real cliff notes, had gotten head-on collision with a drunken driver. The driver went to prison, because it was his third time offense. He went to the hospital. To date, he's had over 100 face reconstruction surgeries. But with him being the breadwinner, three kids at home, wife didn't work, they pretty much lost everything because they had something in force for the criminal. The victim did not get what was coming to him. But nobody was thinking about the families. So one of the first things that I did is see and align myself that were people that were headed down the same highway, but possibly in a different lane, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, SAD. I forget what that acronym from. But I found out that my niche, the missing link, was nobody was working with the mom. that got stuck at home with two kids, no job, and had to figure out how to pay the mortgage. So hang on 1 second, y'all. I'm right near the airport. Hang on 1 second. Gotta go away. Hang on 1 second. Sorry about that, you guys. I'm building a water fountain right near the airport, so they come over every 2 minutes. But anyway, to make a long story short, Mary, to kind of go back to what you was talking about, one of the first things that you do is you research and find out what organizations do work with foster kids and what do they have to offer to offer what they don't. And then you can be all-inclusive, just like Ron told us the other weekend. We're building a community in Virginia. That doesn't mean that I'm coming in from Atlanta and you coming in from New and he's coming in from... Doesn't matter, we are. So just like when we talk about the RR Center research resource, one of the first things that we want to do is align ourselves with people that have already been there, done some of that. But then we start to see the loopholes on what they're not offering. That's what we start to do. One of the first things that I do know about working with displaced, misplaced, dysfunctional, and 50 other gazillion labels they've thrown on the children that I work with is a lot of times you've heard me saying the different businesses, you're in business for yourself but not by yourself. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that I let parents know that when you're parenting a foster kid that might have some disabilities and misabilities, it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be easy. So one of the first things that you do is you offer them assistance to aid so they can put themselves in a group so they can talk to other parents that might be going through something similar so that they don't feel like it and alone and then up to their neck and I want to throw in the towel and I can't do this anymore. And then with it being so individually cased, with every child and every parent having their own difficulties, it's hard to help anybody with a solution to their problem until you find out what their problem is. One of the problems that you put right up on the table in front of everybody is, have you ever tried to travel with a child that needs this? Or have you ever tried to travel with a parent that or a relative or friend that needs an oxygen tank or a wheelchair or needs? We figure out what the needs are. We are so high tech. We're in the information stage. Knowledge is power. There's not a problem out there that they're having that we can't find a solution to. And then if we have to, we multiply it by involving, if anybody's ever been into, I don't want to call it no rehab, you always get somebody that you can call, a partner that you can call. So it doesn't necessarily, and I'm not taking this out of the spiritual realm, it's not always a pastor that you need to consult with. The pastor that you're consulting with may not be married. The pastor that you're consulting with may not have no children. It's hard for people to relate to something that they have nothing to relate it to. It's almost like you Google in your brain and says, oh, my God, my kid's having a seizure. What am I going to do? And your brain goes, I don't know why you're asking me. But if they ask questions, if people got problems, if they got love in their heart to have adopted a child, then we'll do whatever necessary that we need to do to assist them, to let them know they're in it for themselves but not by themselves, to assist them to whatever that is that they're missing. Back to you, Mary.
You brought up a really good thing about pastors. Are we going to say that? I don't see competition between the pastors and their coaching. Do we work with the pastors with the foster children? Or let's say things like waiting a little right now?
Now, you're feeding back really, really bad. I don't know if anybody else is hearing it, but there's a tweak and a twerk and a squeak after every word you say.
I don't know. Mute somebody. Is that better?
Yes. Took away the tweak and the twerk. Go right ahead. I beg your pardon, sir.
No problem. I'm wondering, and you brought up a good point about where the pastors come in, but does the last coach...
It came back and got worse. I'm going to have to interrupt you again because I'm having a hard time understanding you, and I'm listening. There's feedback.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Can you take over the show until I get this?
Yeah, not a problem, Kurt.
Kurt, don't lose your train of thought. Kurt, don't lose your train of thought.
I'm just trying to work on this phone here. I mean, I want to go into another room. Hold on. Go ahead, Kurt.
That's even better when you move, Kurt. It's not feeding back as badly.
You're a little louder,
it's still
too.
It's still twerking a little.
The problem is in the problem is in.
Yeah, if you got some kind of electrical device, big TVs and stuff will do that. Go ahead, Kurt. You sound much better. I beg your pardon.
I just wondered, I have a question. You brought up a good point about the pastors. Does the life coach work with the pastors, or do the pastors bring to us the people to actually load and counsel? And where do we come in working with the churches?
We lost you again, Kurt. Okay, I understand what Kurt's trying to ask. Okay, so how do pastors and life coaches, do we work separate? Do we work together? How do we communicate back and forth to help these particular clients?
Okay, let me throw another trick in the game real fast. First of all, I spent 38 years working with kids, 20-some years with AtlantaChildren.org. I get kids from 38 different counties, different households. Most of the kids that are displaced have been in foster home from the time they was 3 months of age, old enough to go in there. Time they get six to eight different. By the time they get to 6 to 8 years of age, some of them have been to 4 to 6 different foster homes. They've been traded around so much that they don't think nobody wants them. What's the matter with me? Won't nobody keep me? It's like a toy that, and you return it. You know, you was happy when the kid was playing with you, but now you're being returned. So what do you do? It's kind of hard to partner this scenario because you can't really have one without the other. I learned that years ago when they used to call it, when I was in school, PTA, Parent Teacher
Association.
And I said, something's missing. Nobody wants to hear what the child, the student, PTSA. I was part of that movement to make sure that the children had a voice too. It's amazing how people, even though we will raise a kid up to where it can go, excuse my French, and I'm not pointing out Trump when moms have raised more than half the world, with daddy's missing in action. But it's certain things that a child can't learn from a woman that he has to get from a man. How do I know? Because
well,
he used to run the nursery. And if my little boy, the little boy comes in, his little Kurt comes in, and he's six, and I assist him to the little boy's room, and he sits down, and he's only got to do number one, I know who raised him. Because nobody never told him, this is how you do it when you're doing that, especially in public.
Right.
So what happens when I had to get in the mix, the parents had their idea, the teachers had their different idea, based on laws and rules and following under somebody else's leadership and guidance on how we can and can't handle it. And keep in mind, Kurt, when I came up, if you was too rowdy and crass, they'd meet you in the hallway with a paddle, and you put your hands up against the wall, serve feet back, and spread them, and they'd whop you a couple of times, and you'd be fine. But then the things happen, and they change. Nothing stays the same. If you're going to work with a foster kid, you got to have to maybe never even contemplate having to work with the parent. Because I'm not going to tell your kid, instruct your kid to do nothing, and I'm not going to tell the Kurt, get down from there. If you're not telling him to get down from there, don't be climbing up on stuff. And it's and when you got home after you sent them to the local learning institution, first thing that happened is when you came in the door, Mary says, "Hey, baby. Hey, Kurt, how was your day? What did you learn today? What did the teachers teach you today, parent?" Communicating with the student, child, slash, what did the teachers tell you? So a lot of times when the parents getting these kids thinking, I've always wanted to have a child. Yep. But did you know that it comes with handicapabilities? It's not going to wake you up in the morning and want a bottle, but you can't take your eyes off of him for 3 minutes because he might wander off in the mall. So there's a lot of things. Well, here's the tricky part. I set y'all up. I might as well go ahead and put it out there. We talked about the pastors. Oh, help me, Jesus. Different denominations, different religions, different faith. She was raised that way. He was a Catholic. She was a Presbyterian. The kid don't know what he is. Teach me how to pray. Okay, we want sponsors. We need help. We need money. We need people to fund our not-for-profit organization. But if y'all going to include Jesus in there, oh, no, no, no. We can't give you no money for no one in religious cult things. But we just want to teach them how to pray. Oh, well, we can't be included in any kind of religious thing, so we're going to have to keep your money. Y'all have to go find your money somewhere else. So there's always been, Mary, excuse my French, sweetie, a brick wall. But we don't care. We're tearing it down. I got a jackhammer sitting right here in front of me. We're going to chisel right through it. If I need to, I'll set some dynamite right at the base. We're going to blow right through this shit because it can't stay the same. We're going to have to figure out how to assist the parents. There's parents out there that wasn't fortunate enough to be able to have a kid, and the only thing they've always wanted all their life is one of these days, country boy, you're talking to them. I was blessed to have two sons, delivering them, and had the morning sickness to go with it, but I've always wanted a little Mary. I always wanted a little Sharday. I always wanted a little Missy. I wanted to be able to go not just buy little, I like buying little dresses and little jewelry and little hair bows and stuff. Now, because I'm funny like that, I have a passion for girlfriends, women, females. So to go back to you, Mary, and back to you, Kurt, there's no way for us to do it successfully, and different people have different meanings and definitions of successfully. But I'm saying if we're going to assist and give hope and inspiration, and watch this, Mary, spiritual insight, woo. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not a pastor. Woo. I read the Bible. Yes. Woo. Read the Quran too. Yes. Do I speak in tongues? No. Can I teach you how to pray? Yes. Can I teach you kids how to pray? Yes. Do we have to go to the church? Do that? Yes. No. 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 Do we have to go online? No. No. Do we have to Zoom? No. We can do it privately in your convenience. You let me know when's a good time for you, Kurt. And then you're going to have a little one-on-one. This is how you do it. Now, you say it the way you would say it. Let me tell you what I would say. Matter of fact, let me text your phone. I'm going to take a photograph of one page. It's not the Bible. It's a prayer in case you don't know what to say and don't know how to pray. Mm-hmm. We can do this. We can do this together. Back to you, Mary.
Well, you brought that up, country boy. I have a cute story for you. So I have an 8-year-old, and so she was never born, she says. She was an angel that was on a cloud and fell down to help people. And she's now an angel walking the earth. And we just happened to find her and We're helping her to help others. This is her new story she keeps telling me.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome.
So.
Now.
That is my world right now.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
She came up with that one on her own, so she's an angel from the clouds and fell down to earth to help people.
Wow. Awesome. Where did she come up with that, though? She,
Well, it started out as, you know, explaining where heaven was. The way we explain it to her is heaven is beyond the cloud. So she grasped the understanding that it's there, it's just another world. And from there, she came up with it on her own. I don't question where she comes up with her ideas. I just go along with some of them.
Oh, yeah.
When they're good ideas, I go along with them. When they're bad ideas, we don't do it.
Yeah, but that's when you have the ability to do what you're doing and become a counselor. I can agree without agreeing with you. I can agree and disagree at the same time. I can follow your story. I can see what, but see, in the process of her being an angel, very strategically along the way of her telling me where she fell out of the sky, there's a person that made the sky. Who made the earth that you fell to? Where did the people come from that you're supposed to be helping? So without throwing their story out the window, it was you. Let me give you an example. Based on a true story, 2 years after I saw Forrest Gump, somebody told me that it wasn't a true story. It was based on a true story. I said, no, it wasn't. That was a true story. When he ran out of them shackles and I burst into tears in movie theater like I was a baby crying, I said, that was true, wasn't it? And they said, no, they made it up. No, they didn't. That was true. It was based. Her spirituality being an angel, not a little demon.
Right, that's what
not that's, a smurf. Yeah. I asked my son what he wanted to be up, a doctor, a lawyer, engine TV. He said, I want to be a dinosaur. I said, what? You want to be a dinosaur? Why? He said, because dinosaurs is one of the oldest things in the world. I want to live a long time. Oh, then it wasn't so funny when I heard the logic behind why she chose to be an angel versus I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Y'all remember that one?
Yeah. So her logic and the reason why she's an angel is because God has so many people to help, he cannot help everybody. And so she has to help the people that God can't help. Because
now,
she considers
herself to be a servant angel that came down from the heavenlies to do what God told us to do. Put your master degree up. No one ever asked you if you had a GED in kindness. Treat other people, Lynn Kane, treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. So if you were standing on the corner with a sign saying, hungry, please help, would you help them? If they had no place to stay, would you at least let them sleep on your floor or sofa for a day or two if it was 20 degrees outside? Or you think he's Jason and going to knock you in the head in your own house? So there's always, always a purpose-driven life for every human that's walking this earth. Now, there's some people, excuse my French on the airways, y'all. There's some people, excuse me, one more time, I beg your pardon. There's some people that are evil.
Yes, they are.
Some of them dress up in suits. Some of them dress up in skirts. Some of them dress up as popes. Some of them dress up. Some of them don't dress up at all. They'll just let you know. I don't care. one way or the other. They could care nothing about nothing about nothing. And you can't change that. You can't change nobody. So, Mary, what we're going to do is we're going to start, we have. I used to wonder why God gave one talent and gave the other one 10. You got to use what you have to get what you want. We know what our intentions are for the other parents. We know what our intentions are for the children, all the little children, because God loves all the little children. And, oh, that means in addition to, and he loves the parents that have enough heart and spirit and kindness to be able to take care of them and take a child that was homeless and give them a place that they can call home. But they didn't tell me that the kid did all of that. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell me. So we're going to make sure and answer and get back to those they didn't tell me. It's almost like Joe Frazier hit Muhammad Ali with a hook. He knew there was a hook, but he just didn't know what the hook was. You didn't know what the hook was with the kid until you got him home for 2 months and said, oh, no way. I told him not to touch my china. That was my mama's china. He's got to go. You mean you kicked the kid out of the house because he broke your mama's china? Yeah. I told him not to touch it. So, Kurt, last one. This one's for you. This is a trick question. Think about it before you answer. Have you ever tried not to think about something? What happens when you try not to think about something?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've never tried that.
You think about it anyway.
The more you try to think about something, the more you think about it.
Here's the last one, Mary. The problem wasn't with little Kurt couldn't keep his hands off his your grandmother's antique china that was priceless and irreplaceable. It started with Adam. Don't touch that. What tree did you say? What tree did you? Where's the apple at that you don't want me to touch? Where did you hide it at? You told me don't go over there. Guess where the first place I'm going? Over there. Guess what I'm gonna do? The first thing you told me not to do. That's just a test. It's just a test for your love. Are you gonna throw me out because of the china? Or did I back your car into the car garage without pushing the button? I just wanted to see if I could drive. I've been there, done that.
Been there, done that.
What do you say? What do? Well, you don't know what to do. You want to talk to the pastor? No, they ain't been to church 6 years or so. They read when they feel like it. But they love children. Just like you love dogs. But do you know you have to feed it every day?
Yeah.
And give it some water and figure out what you're going to do while you're at the beach for 2 day weekend and it's 90 degrees outside. You just left country boy at house in the doghouse outdoors. Some people don't know what to do. What do? When you don't know what to do, you partner. Mary, you said, let me hear you say it, sweetie. Mary,
we partner up, which is what I'm doing.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm asking you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we put our heads together. Mary, two heads are better than
one,
usually.
Okay, so what we're going to do is between me, you, Kurt, Rick, Ron, Lady V. Oh, Lord, we're getting somewhere now. We got some masterminds. We're going to figure out what it is. Where the hole, where the crack, where the crevice, where they're falling through, and we're going to seal that crack. If there's a wall in front of it, we might have to have Lynn Kane shoot a missile at it. But you keep on keeping on, as my grandmother would say. And Mary, what's happening now is you're able. God says, I'll make you more than willing, but now you're able to put what you're doing on the airways, which means, excuse my French, we're soliciting prayer without people knowing it.
Oh, yeah.
My mind just stayed on it. That's why I asked Kurt, what happens when you think about it? Well, if you was my grandmama, she would say, baby, I see it happening, Mary, in my mind's eye. Woo, woo. Oh, that's what visionaries do. My buddy Einstein says your imagination, Mary, is a preview. Pre means before. View means to see. Your imagination is a preview for what's getting ready to happen in your children's life. Go ahead, dream, girlfriend. But you went from dreaming to being a visionary, and you can see what needs to be done. And if you don't know, God told me to tell you, I'll download the wisdom at the speed of your questions. Keep asking me what you want me to do next, God. What you want me to do next? Who you want me to talk to? Who you want me to call? Who you want me to partner with? And he will give you and direct you and guide, not just your footsteps. He'll even tell you what to say.
Yes, they will. We will. And I'm willing to put all everything I got into helping foster kids get a better life.
You can include me.
And we need to maybe get our heads together and come out with a plan to help them.
Well, we have a plan. I've got 38 years worth of practice, sir.
All right. Well, let's get going.
So why won't we, as we're building this, Kurt, the Lotus Developmental Center, let's add a fragment into there to offer support for foster families and adopted families?
That sounds like a plan. Let's do that.
Okay, one of the first things that you want to put up in front of everybody, Burl Walker speaking now. Burl Walker, my mentor that partnered me with Joel Griffin, says, if I can help enough children and parents get what they want, then what God has for me, he has for me. First thing that we're going to do, Mary and Kurt, is we're going to ask those parents out there, what do you need help doing? Where, what areas do you need help? That's what we're going to focus at first, because if we can give the people and those few parents, those first few, they got ideas, they know stuff that they're missing out. You already got more than a dump truck load of stuff on you, Mary, that you know how to deal with and have to deal with kids and the special needs traveling. And we're getting them to the airport. And now we got the online university. They don't have to have a GED. They can have a candy capability. Their leg can be one shorter than the other. It don't matter when they're sitting down in the front of the computer screen. All those little bitty things that we thought was just an deterrence, they're not. All it is just a learning curve for the obstacles that God is going to show and direct you how to maneuver around by partnering with the right people. If we're already partners with the airlines, the cruise ships, the rental car places, everything that you can order online, and we already have a relationship with them people, oh, here comes the curveball. Watch this. Ask not. Receive not. We have power in what we have to ask for and who we're asking for. Don't you want to be a part of? Everybody wants to be a part of something, but we're looking for a few good, Mary, I know you done heard that one before. We're looking for a few good women. Well, you got the right one, baby. And Kurt, I already said, Mary, and Kurt says, Mary, I got your back.
There you go.
So we have the president of the Hope Collection on, Ron Clayton. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing great.
That's so special. I'm telling you, I think right now on this call are a bunch of superstars. And what the privileges I have is that I kind of help to
with the founder, Art Griffin, and the memory of Joel Griffin and all the communications that he and I had over the last 40 years, I'm able to maintain at least the idea of what the whole collection is headed towards. And, of course, the name and the word hope means just what it is. People around the world, I think every one of us would agree that they are looking for hope. There's so much lack in so many ways and so many places today. And here we stand with a whole arsenal. We're like an army base that's been packed and is equipped and ready to rise to the occasion. And what we need to do is do that very thing. And so these shows, and I want to say thank you to Kurt and Country Boy that you were on today. I heard Mary's voice. But everybody that would be here today, understand this one thing. You're special. You really are special. God has equipped each one of us with gifts, and he has things before we were born. He had things planned for our lives, and he wanted us to do certain things. Now, God is going to get what he wants done. But if he chose you, he chose me, and you become aware of it, and you can, when you realize what God planned for you and the direction and the course of your life, what you can become in touching others.
Isn't
that great fulfillment?
I'll follow after that.
I'm sorry, Country Boy? Country Boy, I heard you, but I didn't hear you.
He's on his phone today. So am I.
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Ron.
Did you hear what I was sharing?
I heard everything. I think Country Boy is having problems with the phone. He can't.
You know what it is, Kurt? He's got sunspots. He's down there.
I'm muted that time. I had two big planes going over, and I didn't want to drown y'all out with planes.
Okay, I thought your phone was acting up again like mine.
Country Boy, I was just sharing that when we realize what God has created us individually for, not just the masses. You know, God didn't just populate the earth, put people on it, and fill it up and have a bunch of people like we've got today that just feed themselves. He filled it up for us to feed everybody, to be a part of his plan to make this world a better place. And we are so equipped, so blessed. We live in the greatest country that's ever existed on the face of the earth. There's no single country that has ever given away what we've given away. There's no single country that has lifted more people out of poverty. There's no single country that has saved lives more than they killed lives. I'll say it again. There's no single country that has saved more lives than killed lives. And in the history of mankind, we have the privilege of being a servant to God Almighty. And I thank you for this call, and I thank you, Kurt, for everything you're doing to make it happen. I got to run. I had an appointment that I had to go to, and got to go to another one. So all of you, please be blessed and help someone else today.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, you said to give me a quick second. I had to go get a drink, so I had to walk through a noisy house.
Okay.
All right, I'm back.
All right. Oh, good. So, wow.
Let's start rocking and rolling. Let's come up with a we already have the plan already done. And what is our next step?
Our next step is finish up the legalities of getting this up and running to get it up and running and start, you know, promoting it. You know, basically.
All right. And we'll put that into our services of foster parents and children that can come to in there, and we can provide services to them.
Correct.
Let's start okay. with start with simple. Let's start some support groups on social media that gives them a place to meet up and talk to help figure out and find out what some of their issues are and what they can be what they could get help with. You know, another place, good place to be talking to local counties and offer services through the counties.
Okay. Well, we could do that. We could do that.
Are you taking notes or do you want me to, Kurt?
You go ahead. Because I'm not a good note taker. But, yeah, I know. I got the gist. I will go online, like in my computer going, go online and look for family services and probably start promoting us to them.
Also, I think, I don't know if Country Boy would agree with this or not, would be besides human services, but also like child protection, talking to them.
Okay.
And that way, you know, those are the risk kids, the kids that have already, you know, are in trouble or families that are in trouble. Offering services is another option for them to help them.
You were talking about family services where they come in and, you know, make sure the kids are okay.
Correct. That's child protection. See, and here's the problem we have with our, and I know this for a fact because I've been through it, is these different departments and social services don't communicate with each other.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to reach out to every department. Oh, it's really, it sucks. They're all in the same building, but they're all on different floors. There is no, you know, intercommunication.
All right, we're good. We're good on time. We got 7 of them in.
Correct.
All right. So, all right, so what I'll do today, if I have time, I will get online and see if my laptop is working. I will go on there and see what kind of services we can find and probably start promoting. Maybe I'll do some research on them. And
that business plan template that I linked you to on my docs, we need to set, I'll make up a template for you. And so we can set out like a marketing plan, a game plan of, okay, so is what we, so that way when we talk to these services, we can email them a copy of the services available to them. So they can see it with numbers and, you know. You're breaking up again. You moved.
All right, hold on. I have to stand outside. I was just looking. You got the time, right?
Correct. You have a little under 6 minutes.
All right, good. All right, so I'm outside and literally outside of my front yard. All right. So, okay, I'll just about do that. And I guess some Country Boys on mute. And we'll get the ball rolling on that. I know foster parents at my mom's church. They were foster parenting a really beautiful young boy. But his life is all little shambles right now. Because he doesn't know where to go. You know, he knows that his parents are not his parents. It's a tough life for him. So maybe I'll sit down with them and talk to them and what kind of services we can offer to them as far as counseling. And again, I don't want to step on the pastor's toes.
But you can't look at it as stepping on the pastor's toes. Work with the pastor, combined efforts, team up. You know, you're not working against them, you're working with them.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like other coaches, we all work together for the greater good. That's why we work together. That's what makes the Hope Collection so awesome is that it's a group of people that work together to help people. you got to look at it as we're all together working for the greater good and projecting God's mission at the same time.
That's correct. And I'll sit down with them today or tomorrow and talk to them what we're all about and take it from there. Because I'm supposed to meet him at my mom's place, my mom's room today. And
reaching out to clergy is a good way because they know a lot of the people that could, you know, that need the help. And offering to help work with them is, you know, another good path to take.
Right. I'll talk to them today about that. He's a very open-minded pastor. He's not the stuffy old one we had before. Or things you really want to change. So, we'll talk to him today about it. See what we can do. Okay.
Yeah, and you're breaking up again.
In the meantime, I will try to.
All right, we're at the 3-minute mark. Country Boy, you got any last parting words to say? Country Boy's muted.
Yep.
You're breaking up again, Kurt.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm hanging up. And thank you for hosting or co-hosting our show tonight. Hopefully I can return a favor for you. I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right.
All right. I'll get back when I see my mom. I'll come back home and we'll touch base then.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Have a good day. Good.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining, everybody, and have a good day and talk to you guys tomorrow.